So that's the good news. We're going to get a big drink of water. Let's hope everybody stays safe if we do get too much rain. But then we'll have temperatures in the 70s. That's what I like to hear. Updated forecast. You can watch that radar. It'll start developing later this afternoon, according to the forecast, at WGCLradio.com. It's Thursday morning. We catch up with MCCSE school board members Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer. Keith is out today on assignment, but Sue joins us. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I guess it sounds like I don't have to put the sprinkler on my garden, huh?
That's what I was just going to mention, too. That'll save everybody a couple bucks. We've kind of been on the cusp because in June we should get almost 5 inches of rain, but the first 21 days of June we've had 1.2 inches. So when you get some days in the 90s and we've had days of no humidity either, things start to get that tinge of tan to them, but we had such a nice spring. We want to keep it green. Let's let Mother Nature keep it green for us.
That's fine with me. It's less work on my part.
Exactly right, and keeps our water bills nice and healthy as well. Now, we think, hey, it's a summer. There's nothing to do, right? We've talked about getting our buildings taken care of, new roofs, ADAs, all that stuff. We'll get that done. Everything will be great. And then life happens, and it's been a very busy, busy week in the MCCSE as we've had some folks retire, we've had some folks move around, and also we're going to have to start find a principal at Bloomington North as we say goodbye to Jeff Henderson.
Glass, you're right. You know, Jeff had a very nice offer from Center Grove High School in Johnson County. Let's say an offer he probably couldn't pass up. I'm thrilled for Jeff. That he gets to do something new and exciting, but I'm kind of sad for us. And that means at North High School now we have to find a principal and two assistant principals since Andrea Mobley was promoted to assistant superintendent for human resources and operations and Betty Anderson retired. So now that Andrea is brand new almost in her new role in human resources, that office has been pretty busy this summer. As you say, people move out and people move around, and it means we have to find some new folks.
And where does that process start with, and who's in charge of heading that up? I mean, obviously, if you're moving personnel people into personnel spots, those personnel people have to personnel for their old personnel where they were just a person at. Give me the whiteboard. Give me the flow chart here.
You're correct. You know, the night that we officially appointed Andrea Mobley as Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources, she had already begun working with Peggy Chambers because Peggy is transitioning on her way out as she retires. So Andrea now is pretty much in charge of finding the people. Now,
replacing herself? Is that right? She's in charge
of... Yeah, kind of. I hope Peggy's going to be helping a little, and there's some other people in our HR department who have been there and who can help, and certainly our superintendent. The superintendent's cabinet is a pretty nice working team, but we're moving around a lot of those people and replacing people. So Andrea's right on top of it. What starts is the positions are posted. So we have now at least two assistant principals at North and a principal at North that are posted for people to apply. People apply online. We have an electronic application system. And as those come in, they're reviewed in our HR department. And then, especially for principals, this is really important, the people who apply are then, after it's whittled down a little bit, they're interviewed or they're reviewed by a committee of teachers and staff and parents who make recommendations then about who should go forward for further consideration. Ultimately, for a principal, the superintendent makes the final decision. But we do involve our parents and our staff so that we know that it's somebody who really gets a really good idea of what our community is about, because we're not just picking them, they're picking us too. And we also want our parents and our staff to feel comfortable with who comes in.
And the time frame of this moving forward, I mean, you don't want to hurry up and do it, right?
Right. Oh, you're right. We want to be able to do this very intentionally and wisely. But our principals work year-round. Our high school principals work year-round. So, you know, ideally, we would have a new principal in right now who could be working on hiring assistant principals and maybe any other teachers.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Who brings in the – who's responsible for the assistant principals? That they are all hired by the incoming principal? That's how that works?
Yeah.
Okay.
The assistant principals are hired by the principal with – consultant advice with our superintendent. So I think anybody in our central administration who thought they might be taking a summer vacation this summer may not be able to, because I think a lot of people are having to pitch in and help. Certainly, we can be taking applications for assistant principals at North, and certainly they can be being reviewed to see what an incoming principal might be interested in. And to be really honest with you, Glass, I have no idea if there are folks in our system who are interested and qualified and would like to lead a large comprehensive high school in southern Indiana, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She serves on the MCCSC school board and checks in every Thursday morning to talk local education issues. And how these, I'm not familiar with all how this works, and that's why I love to talk to you and Keith about this stuff.
Great, yeah.
When Jeff Henderson says, hey, I'm headed to Center Grove, it's not like he stays for 2 weeks and makes sure the desk is arranged and all this other stuff is in order. They need him at Center Grove. So this stuff happens pretty quickly, right?
It sure does. And I don't know. I mean, Jeff, as the superintendent said in the newspaper, is a class act, and he is. I'm sure he didn't leave with folders unfiled and things a mess. I'm sure he left it, did whatever he needed to do to leave it so that a new person coming in with the help of the two assistant principals.
Yeah, I didn't mean to insinuate that.
It'll make sense.
The angle I'm talking about is when the job is taken at the new place, they want that person in their new place as fast as possible, so that it's not always the perfect time to just hand over the reins and do all that. It's kind of like, hey, I got to go, so that these wheels are in motion and moving around. So there isn't a definite date to any of this. This is just all going to happen organically then.
Right. It's going to happen as quickly as we can without rushing something and missing a good candidate. So
that's the only way you can do it.
I'll tell you what, when the superintendent was advertising and looking for the two assistant superintendents and elementary education coordinator, it moved rather quickly. Once the applications were in terms of getting groups together to do the interviewing and then making some recommendations, that didn't take a long, long time. So,
Well, that's not surprising because, number one, the school corporation usually grades out very well. And number two, once people know the job is open, I mean, how long was Jeff Henderson there? I don't want to say 100 years, but he was there a pretty long time. So people don't think that job's going to be open at some point, and they say, oh, geez, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. And then all of a sudden the turnout is rolling.
Glass, you make a perfect point. People want to work in the school corporation. So people who might be in a position to leave their current position are keeping an eye open. They also like this community. Bloomington and Monroe County is a very desirable place to live because of the amenities we have. We're close to a national forest and a reservoir and have a couple other lakes. So, people want to come here. So we'll see what, I'm going to guess that maybe in the next week or so we might have an idea of what might be happening.
Excellent. And obviously the school year, don't blink, it'll be August before we know it. It'll be August 9th before we know it. What is, besides everything we just talked about, what else is on the board's agenda? What does a normal summer look like for you guys?
For the board, this is kind of what it looks like, is just talking about and discussing with the superintendent new hires. This year is really different because of the three new people. Well, four if we count John Kenny, five if we count Adam Terwilliger, who came into our business and finance office. That's the biggest central administration move we've had, just due to retirements and people being all similar ages. So that's really been different for us and big deal. And we do talk about the hiring, and a lot of things for the board. Are a lot of different reports, wanting to hear about what's happening with our different summer programs and our camps and our teachers. And we do have a board meeting on Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
Excellent. And obviously you'll get the agenda for that a little bit later this week. And hopefully it involves some hirings. Hopefully it involves some personnel, things that go on. What else is going on in the world of education? We need to know. I saw a story in today's HT, page A4. Here's the headline, Sue. 700 I-STEP scores tossed after students allowed to use calculators.
I don't, you know what? Glass, you know, you really can't make this up. And sometimes I think people might think we're making up some things about I-STEP. I don't know how anybody was allowed to use a calculator when you're not allowed to use a calculator.
State officials are reviewing how students at 20 schools around Indiana were mistakenly allowed to use a calculator on a part of this year's I-STEP standardized math exams. The State Department of Education has tossed out scores for about 700 elementary, middle, and high school students in northern Indiana's Rochester School Corporation, where it says testing company Pearson incorrectly told schools to allow calculator use in an I-STEP section for which they weren't permitted. So the people administering the test don't even know whether to use calculators or not. You know what I say, Sue? I'm on the radio right now. I'm using a calculator as we speak and a computer. We use it every day. You might as well teach them to use it properly and use it every day, because there's not things that, hey, we're going to build a bridge. No, no, you can't use your calculator today. Let's just let's go from what we remembered.
No, I get that, but when you're asking, when you're testing somebody's math skills, you want to test their skills and not their ability to use a calculator.
I hear you.
But you know what, Glass? You know what does Keith keep saying over and over again about the testing companies? Oh my goodness, where can we find a decent testing company that can either construct the test correctly or appropriately, and also give the right instructions? I'm glad Keith isn't on the radio, because
yeah,
he would probably be going apoplectic right now.
Lori Vaughn's the assistant superintendent of the DeKalb Central United School District. She said two district employees called Pearson separately to verify what they believed was different calculator guidance than the previous years, and they were told by Pearson, the testing company, to proceed as directed. So all they did was follow the directions. All they did was double check the directions, and then they figure out it's wrong. So what do these kids have to do? Come back and take these tests over again?
You know what? I have no idea. It wouldn't seem fair to make them take the test. You throw them out and you don't count them in the totals. Better yet, we throw out all the I-STEP scores, because I'm not sure
Let's throw them out again.
What it's really telling
us. Again. The education department says that only the students who will have to retake the math exam are some high school sophomores in order to meet graduation requirements. But the math scores labeled as undetermined could lower the state's A through F ratings because those schools, because of low passing rates. So there you go. So they give the wrong directions. Who pays the price? The school corporation, because of the A through F funding. So
kids and their families. But you know what amazes me, Glass, is what you just read that said people double checked to ensure that they had the right instructions.
Yeah, called Pearson separately to verify. They thought it was wrong. They called the company and said, hey, we think this is wrong. The company said, no, you're fine. Just do what you're told. And they still don't get it right. Oh, my goodness. This was Pearson's second year administering the I-STEP exams, taken by more than 400,000 students. Pearson replaced vendor CTB McGraw-Hill, which faced numerous troubles, including grading problems and computer glitches. We know all about that. That kicked 80,000 students offline. We knew that back in 2013, so it just outlines the issues going on. Thankfully, though, just the high school kids have to take them, but again, that trickle down of the A through F grade, I just want people to see the totality of all of this and how it works. And it makes you scratch your head, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Oh,
I am shaking mine.
Excellent. Anything else we need to get caught up on? Next Thursday, obviously, we'll have a recap of your Tuesday meeting. That meeting is coming up on the 27th. That will be, what time is that over at the East-West North-South Drive?
That's it. 6 o'clock in the boardroom in the administration center. And one of the things on the agenda, because we talked about this a while ago, and this is going to be on the agenda, and I know a lot of people are very concerned and interested in this, is we're going to talk about our food policy again and how we ask parents to pay their debt, or we don't ask them to pay their debt, or how children get their meals or don't get their meals, and The superintendent's going to have some data for us to consider, and I do believe there's going to be a number of people at that board meeting to speak to us about their concerns about our lunch program.
What does it take to change the lunch program in the sense of requirements and regulations? It's not just as easy as putting a motion for it, is it?
Well, it is. I mean, what we did the last time that people objected to was passed a policy that talked about how when children have more than three charges in debt, they go in debt, three meals, then they don't get a hot meal, and that's taken away if they've taken it and they get a sandwich and milk. We can change the policy, which is what I would like to do, to say any child gets a hot meal. Then we'll write the guidelines. The guidelines support the policy and tells us how we're going to enact the policy. And then in the guidelines we can say we'll work with the parents to repay the debt. We'll use donations because people started donating now to our food assistance
right.
fund through the foundation, and that's very good. Or figure out if we need to use some school money to help pay for the debt. We've had a lot of different people make
suggestions. So you do have the flexibility to adjust the policy. You don't have to
right,
worry about that, USDA and all that other red tape that goes with the government lunch programs.
Good point. We do have to do some things. And one of the reasons that policy came up is because the feds are asked us to specify in policy how we would collect debt that wasn't federal tax money going in to pay for
right.
for the federal part of the program. So we had to add that in. And that was like one line. We've had this policy for a long, long time about the three lunches in debt. But we've had people suggest, why does it have to be three lunches? Could it be 10? Could it be a
sure.
week of uncharged lunches? Because people get paid on a weekly basis. Could it be 2 weeks? So there's a lot of different ideas out there that I think we want to explore and look at and make some changes for our schools.
And I think that's a positive change because if kids don't eat, we know they don't learn. And it's just, it's
exactly.
It's not a very comfortable issue to talk about because people don't want to think that way, but it's true. And yeah, I think we can get a little bit smarter on how that. I'm excited to hear what comes out of that meeting.
Right. And let's hold the parents responsible and not put the kids in the middle.
I agree with that. And parents
that
don't want to be responsible, well, then we'll go from there. But I don't think that's possibly the case everywhere. And I don't think people are trying to chime or game the system. If they are, you're going to figure that out. But I don't think,
right.
and I've said this before, I don't think the handful of people trying to game the system should take precedence over the hundreds that need the system. That shouldn't be how it's looked at, in my opinion.
I agree with you. And that's always going to happen where someone's going to try
yeah.
to take advantage.
Great systems get gamed. The IRS is around
right.
because people game that system. So it's let's not look at it that way. I don't think that's the proper way to look at it. But then again, that's just my opinion. So next Tuesday, 6 o'clock at the administration building, we will have
yes.
a school board. That's the 27th if you are planning ahead. All right, great job as always. We appreciate your insight and your time, and we'll hear the results of that meeting. Again, very interested to hear what progress is made on that moving forward.
Thanks, Glass. I appreciate talking to you.
All right, good job, Sue, and we'll talk to you next
Okey-dokey.
Week.
Okay, bye-bye.